We're finishing today a two-part lesson entitled Preach the Word, based upon what Paul wrote to the young evangelist Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. And he began by saying, in the presence of God and Jesus and by his authority, and one day he will judge, preach the word. That is, be careful what you are preaching and how you apply it to yourself as you seek to teach others. Preach the word, being ready at all times. Preach on subjects when you think that there is not an opportunity, and when there is an opportunity, continue at all times to preach the word. Then he goes on to say, preach the word that reproves, rebukes, exhorts with patience and instruction. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And so we are to preach the word that reproves, that convinces, that provides evidence for what is true, that argues for what is true and against what is false. It's what Paul did continually, Acts 17 and verse 2. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. And in verse 11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So although Paul presented the evidence in Thessalonica, even those in Berea were seeking out the scriptures to determine whether his arguments were correct or not. So we are to preach the word, reproving those from the word of God, and we are to preach the word, rebuking, that is, sharply correcting those who may be involved in sin. Because that is something that if we continue in sin, then we will be lost, and we want to sharply warn and correct those who are continuing in sin, or so that they, even if they are not committing sin, they will be warned against it before they would seek to be enticed by those things and ensnared. Jude verses 8 and 9, yet in the same way these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesty. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And so it just shows that a sharp warning is what was needed to be given to Satan. In this case, Michael did not do it, but he said the Lord will do it. But regarding preaching the word, we are to sharply rebuke or correct those who continue in sin. Sometimes, gently and sometimes more strongly, depending on the danger someone is facing. Jude 22 and 23, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And so some preaching is to be with strong correction, so that others may be awakened, that they may turn away from sin. And so many times this is not done in so many churches across the country and the world, even among those in churches of Christ, but in the denominations as well. Sin is something that the preacher thinks if he talks about sin or sharply corrects, that he will be run out of town or he will be rejected and he will lose his support. And because of this, and also because many times the preacher has fallen into the false thinking that once we have been baptized into Christ, then how we live is not that important. And nothing could be farther from the truth that we read about in the Word of God. We are to preach exhorting or comforting and encouraging those to continue in the faith, not only sharply correcting, but also comforting and encouraging, like Barnabas did in Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And then we see Paul preaching the same way, Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And so there is a preaching that should be comforting and should be encouraging, not just correcting, but also encouraging, that we might be continuing in the faith despite all difficulties. We are to preach with patience or long-suffering, holding back temper and not being irritated or angry, and that is a great challenge that I'm afraid at times I have failed and had to ask forgiveness, thankfully to a gracious God. But it is something as preachers we need to learn, to be patient, to be long-suffering, holding back at times and enduring. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. 2 Timothy 2:24, again to Timothy, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but in be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So we are to preach with patience, and that is with long suffering, as the King James translates that word at times. That's how Paul described love. that it is long-suffering or patient, along with other qualities that are essential in teaching the Word of God, never compromising truth, but doing so with an attitude that is going to win souls to Christ and that is going to encourage people to be faithful to Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, love is patient or long-suffering. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, and does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That is the one preaching the Word of God. Then we are to preach the Word with instruction, the correct teaching. We can't just get up and say anything and be pleasing to God and say contradictory things or compromised things, but we must seek to teach the truth as revealed in His Word, that we may have the right teaching with which to instruct those whom we seek to teach according to the apostles' teaching. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The Scripture is designed to provide the accurate teaching that we need, and departing from it will cause us and others to be lost if they follow that which is wrongly taught. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 again, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. So this is all we need, and we need to stay with the Scripture rather than the traditions of men and women who have corrupted the Word of God. Having different teachings that contradict will only confuse, and God is not the author of confusion, but He would have us be built up in the faith. In order to do that, we have to stick to the teaching that has been given by the apostles in the New Testament, guided by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:26, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. In order to be edified, we must be built up by the truth, the accurate teaching. Contradictory teaching will only confuse, disturb, mislead, and destroy those who follow. First Timothy 6:3-5, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, a different teaching, and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about if we teach those things contradictory, then we are going to mislead people and we are going to be destroyed ourselves. And so there is a correct teaching that we need to be following, and it's going to be a rejection of all teachings that are contradictory to that. And so we're not going to be condoning those denominational patterns of different churches, choose your own church, choose your own teaching, whether it contradicts the apostles' teaching or not. That is not what Paul intended when he said, preach the word. We must stay with the apostles' teaching if we're going to be pleasing to God. Then he says, they will seek preachers who teach in fellowship or share with error what they want to hear. And so there is a warning. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. So that is the warning that he gives, and he gives another warning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where he tells Timothy that there will be a corruption of teaching, not only among elders in congregations, but among those who are evangelists who preach. And they will turn away from the truth, and there will be people who want to hear those things because they would rather be comforted in their own sins rather than be corrected and turn from those sins. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. So they will teach things that are different from the Word of God, and we see that not only in the Catholic Church, the Baptists, the Methodists, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, on and on it goes. None of these churches, organizationally speaking or doctrinally speaking, can be found represented in the Word of God, the Apostles' teaching. And they do many things that are against the will of God, including the Catholic Church forbidding those who claim to be priests or preachers to marry. That is not in the Word of God. That is a Catholic command against the Word of God. Forbidding of foods like the Seventh-day Adventists and the Catholics and others. So it has already come about what Paul wrote to Timothy. They would corrupt the word of God and mislead many. Instead of sharing with them, we ought to mark or observe them and make it known that they are teaching the wrong thing and not share with them financially or otherwise in what they are doing. Romans 16:17-18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissension and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. First John is even stronger, or Second John, verses 9-11. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that is what is in the New Testament, does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. Strong language there. Don't financially support him and don't even greet him as a fellow brother who is faithful in Christ if he has departed from the teaching of Christ. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So even if we just greet them, we are approving of their evil deeds. Why are there preachers that depart from the faith accepted in congregations? Because the people desire to have it so. Again, they want to be comforted in their sins, deceived in their sins, not corrected, not to have to change their lives. That's the way it was even in the Old Testament among the prophets, the false prophets who did not correct the people, but said, everything is fine. Go ahead and continue in your idolatrous, immoral ways, and everything will be good. And yet God said, you will be destroyed, and they were. Micah 2:11, if a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be spokesman to this people. But Jeremiah 5:30-31, again explaining that the reason they accepted the false prophets is because that's what they want. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted in that time. That's what they want in this time today. Jeremiah 5:30-31, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? And so again, the people desire the preachers that they get. A congregation is the recipients of the preaching that they demand. And if they don't want to serve God, they want to rebel against him, then that's the type of preachers they will seek to have and the type of elders they will seek to have. And they will feel good that they are continuing in those sins. Then finally, Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, fulfill your ministry as an evangelist, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So not only continue preaching, but have the idea of being sober, not having anything to do with alcoholic beverage, except to take a little for your stomach's sake, he would say in 1 Timothy 5:23, only for limited medicinal purposes, take it, but otherwise abstain from those intoxicating beverage. Not see how much you can drink without getting drunk, or you deceive yourself into thinking that you're not drunk. But don't have anything to do with those. The word sober, one of the definitions is to abstain from intoxicants. That would include alcohol and drugs. Be alert, be watchful at all times so that you can carry out what an evangelist should be doing, proclaiming the Word of God and applying the Word of God to yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, and having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. So we are to be sober. And endure until the end whatever hardship may come, because people reject the teaching and persecute us, to whatever degree we are to continue. Because one day we know that there is a reward that the Lord will give us if we continue in His faithful service. Among the last words Paul wrote before he was executed, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, Paul said, and the time of my departure has come. The time of his death had come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So continue on, not to receive a paycheck, but continue on being faithful to the Lord and seeking to teach his word in spite of all difficulties. And if we complete that race, that course, then eternal life awaits by the grace of God. Preach the word in the presence of God and Jesus, and by his authority, preach the word. One day he will judge us. Preach the word, being ready at all times. Preach the word that reproves, rebukes, exhorts with patience and instruction. And they will seek preachers who teach and fellowship error, what they want. In spite of that, fulfill your ministry as an evangelist. And so we are to preach the word. We would encourage all to think of these lessons, especially those who seek to preach the word, that we might make whatever changes we need to do in preaching or if we have been listening to preaching that is against the will of God, that we might seek to find a congregation that has preaching that is more accurate, or bring someone to the congregation that we're with who would be more faithful in teaching the word. But today we would also encourage all who are not Christians to become a child of God before it is ever too late. If you have believed in Jesus as the Son of God, you may have been taught that all you need to do is pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you were saved at that point in time. But as we're studying, and as we have studied in the book of Acts, those cases of conversion where we read about different ones becoming Christians, we do not read about a sinner's prayer. We do not read about infant baptism or sprinkling. But what we do read is when they believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he is God along with the Father and the Son, Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is the one who, after living a perfect life, died for our sins on the cross. God raised him from the dead on the third day, and after appearing to his disciples for 40 days, he ascended back to heaven, where he is now ruling as king and high priest until he comes again to judge us and raise the dead. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins as they did, change your mind and turn to God, confess Jesus as the Son of God, as we read at the end of Acts chapter 8, and be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, as we read about in Acts chapter 2, the first preaching of the gospel. At the point of baptism for forgiveness of sins, they entered the new life that they were to live. They became united with God through Jesus, being baptized into his death, raised up to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. We would encourage you to do that before it is ever too late. We would be glad to help you if you would call, text, or email us, and we would be glad to study with you remotely by Zoom if that is possible, or find some other way that you might study with someone and learn more about Jesus and how to be saved. Those who are already Christians, we would encourage you to continue in the apostles' teaching. And as we fall short of that teaching, that as we often do, and sin against God, we encourage you to repent and pray per Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. Repent and pray, confessing our sins as often as needed, that the Lord would continue to be merciful, that we might grow in his grace and knowledge. We would encourage all to respond to the gospel before it's ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.